I really enjoy that parasha because it gives all the blessings. So I'm going to speak on one of those blessings today. It's probably not one that you're expecting. So let us pray for the word. Abba Father, I just pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things that your Torah has given us today. And we just give you the glory, Abba Father, for the words that you've given me. And I pray that these words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart are acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. I'm actually going to speak on the prophecy to God. And it's a difficult one when you first look at it. Can we go to Bereshit 49:19, please? Guard, which means troop. A troop will troop on him, and he will troop on their feet. You think, well, what are you going to write about that? A troop will troop on him, and he will troop on their heel, I mean. But let us now go to a scripture in the New Testament which has got everything to do with the tribe of God. Yeshua and his Talmudim in Mark 5:1-15 arrived at the other side of the lake in the Gerasenes territory. As soon as he disembarked, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the burial caves to meet him. And he lived in the burial caves, and no one could keep him tied up, not even with a chain. He often had been chained hand and foot, but he would snap the chains and break the irons off his feet, and no one was strong enough to control him. Now the Gerasenes, if we look at this, all right, let's keep going. On the night and day he wandered among the graves and through the hills, howling and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Yeshua from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him and screamed at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Yeshua, son of God, Ha-Elyon? I implore you, in God's name, don't torture me." For Yeshua had already begun saying to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of this man." Yeshua asked him, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion." And he answered, "There are so many of us." And he kept begging Yeshua not to send them out of that region. Then we'll go to the next slide, please. Now, where there was a large herd of pigs feeding near the hill, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the pigs so we can go into them." Yeshua gave them permission. They came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering around 2,000, how many pigs? 2,000, rushed down the hillside into the lake and were drowned. So these unclean spirits would have entered 2,000 pigs. That was a lot of unclean spirits. And the swineherds fled and told it to the town in the surrounding country. The people went to see what had happened. They came to Yeshua and saw the man who had had the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were frightened. Now, I've tied both guard being a troop to this this incident in the Kedavah HaShalakim. So we go to the next slide, please. When we read verse 1 of Mark, in the authorized version, we read that, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes," the people of God. But the Complete Jewish Bible writes Gerasenes. But in other verses, and when you look at it in the Hebrew, it's Gadarenes. So they're the people from Gad, or the people of the tribe of Gad. So now it's obvious to me that the tribe of Gad and the demoniac of Gadara have a connection. And there's a lot, and they are, there's a lot in common here. But we've learned from our readings that guard means a troop. And that was a prophesied to be overcome by a troop. And at the end, he shall overcome that truth. The actual meaning of Gadarenes means there's a reward at the end. So the beginning statement in God's prophecy was being overcome. It said a troop will troop on him. That means a troop will overcome him. When Yeshua met the descendant of Gad, the demoniac, the man was overcome by a troop. He was overcome by a troop of unclean spirits. Can we go to the next slide, please? Slide 6. So Yeshua asks this man, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion." He answered, "There are so many of us." Now that in itself is a clue. The name was Legion, but let me ask the question, what's a legion? Does anyone know what a legion is? It's an army. It's a number of people. A legion is a body of soldiers whose numbers differed at different times. But in the time that this was written, in the time of Augustus, it seems to be consisted of 6,826 men. That is, there were 6,100 foot soldiers and 726 horsemen. We know that the man had thousands of demons in him because they were all cast into the 2,000 pigs. So there was at least that amount in him. In Mark 5 and verse 13, it says, Yeshua gave them permission. They came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd numbering around 2,000 rushed down into the hillside, into the lake, and were drowned. So as I said, Legion is the name of the man, but it's also the name of a troop of soldiers. Legion, this legion of the devil overcame the man and captured him, possessed him as a military troop would capture an enemy and make them prisoner. So we can give thanks to Yah and praise him that a prophecy came forth a long time ago in this man's descendants and in his ancestors through the prophecy of God. Because though a troop would overcome this man, he would overcome in the end. The demoniac was set free from that prison of demon possession, and his nakedness was covered with clothing, and he was set right in his right mind. Not only was the demoniac captured by a troop, as God was foretold to experience, but the region where the demoniac lived was also called the country of the Gadarenes. And as I said, the Gadarenes actually means reward at the end. So here we have a prophecy given to God that a troop would overcome him, but he would overcome at the last, and a demon-possessed man overcame by an army of evil spirits called Legion in a region called Reward at the end, who was set free from these devils and overcame their bondage in the end of his story. No matter who it is, it might have been that man, it might be me, it might be you, but we all have a story. No matter how bound our lives are, no matter how much we have overcome, we will continue to overcome in the end. How did this man overcome? Yeshua came to him, and through Yeshua HaMashiach, the man overcame. At least 2,000 demons were in the man. A troop that large affords quite a bit of security that guarantees that the prisoner is simply not going to escape. But no matter how much the odds are stacked against us, If we meet Yeshua and fall down before him and worship him, we will receive help and we will overcome. Yeshua is the one that gives us the strength to overcome. The demoniac of Gadara dwelt among the mountains and the tombs. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, you will know that nobody lives in the mountains or tombs for that matter. Mountains speak of hard living and obstacles. They're dry, they're barren, there's no trees on them, nothing exists. Yeshua spoke of speaking to a mountain in faith and commanding it to be removed. Some of us always feel as if we are against a wall and can't get through it. We all have hardships in our life that we have to overcome. As for living in tombs, well, that's contradictory. People in tombs are dead and do not live in tombs. They are dead in tombs. But such lives are living deaths. There is absolutely no life in the tombs. Yeshua said that the religious Pharisees were like white sepulchres. They were outwardly clean and white like the tombs. The graveyard caretakers kept neat and tidy. But inside was the rottenness and corruption and the bones of the dead. Just because people go to church or a messianic service does not mean that they are happy. You have to inwardly get hold of Yeshua HaMashiach. What is seen on the outside is not necessarily is of what is going on in the inside of a person. Inside, you have to worship him and give your life to him. How many people have you met that say church-going people are hypocrites? And they do not name a specific denomination. They blanket the whole Christian or religious goers. Why? There can be a variety of reasons. Maybe it's because they saw people go to church and treat other people awfully. Or maybe they were raised in the church and were treated cruelly by their own fathers. Or even it can be an indication to me that they were not happy with themselves. People who are happy within themselves treat other people wonderfully. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 65 and verse 2. I spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who live in a way that is not good, who follow their own inclinations, a people who provoke me to my face all the time, sacrificing in gardens and burning incense on bricks. They sit among the graves, spend their nights in caverns. They eat pig meat and their pots hold soup made from disgusting things. If we notice that Yeshayahu in verse 2, Yah spreads out his hands to a people who are rebels. He said they sit among graves and mountains, tombs and mountains. This is the same as the demoniac. And notice their independence in following after their own inclinations. Then in verse 5, we see they say, keep your distance. Don't come near me because I'm holier than you. They are smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all day. These people are isolated and actually think they feel better than other people. But in reality, they are isolated in a prison. As people do not live in mountains like that or in graveyards and tombs. Now let's have a look at what verse 7 says. The next slide. Your own crimes and those of your ancestors together, says Yehovah. They offered incense on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. First I will measure out their wages and then repay them in full. And in Matthew 8:28, when Yeshua arrived at the other side of the lake in the Gadarenes' territory, there came out of the burial caves two men controlled by demons, so violent that no one dared travel on that road. It was the demonic spirits causing prevented people to come the way of the Gadarenes. This story in Matthew is very similar to the one in Mark, but as it said, it mentioned two men controlled by demons, not one. The people in Yeshayahu 65 were also actually controlled by the enemy, and their perspective was an illusion that they were better than other people. They felt they were holier than thou. How many people do we come across with that perspective on life? Holiness is not a better than thou attitude. That is a twisted corruption of the true holiness of Yehovah. Yah wanted man to be filled with life, and for that life to come forth out of his life. That was his sole purpose of putting man in the Garden of Eden. The adversary or evil one knew Yehovah's plan. Yehovah is spirit. He created a physical realm apart from the physical spiritual realm. Yehovah dwells in the spiritual realm. While mankind is created in the image of Yehovah, mankind is of the physical realm. Yehovah wants mankind to put his life inside our lives. And there's a point to this, and it's simple. Yehovah wants to indwell mankind and reach out to touch the physical world through mankind. As I said, it was for this reason that mankind was created. So the adversary seeks to confound that. He caused Hava to concern herself with self, not with the spirit of Yah. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Bereshit chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. The serpent said to the woman, "It's not true that you will surely die, because Yehovah knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like Yehovah, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it had a pleasing appearance, and that the tree was desirable for making one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. So we have to look at the self-centeredness that was involved with Hava. She was looking at what was going to benefit her, not what was going to benefit mankind or Yah. And this was like the people of Yeshayahu 65. Yehovah does not want you to be smart as he is. The adversary made Yehovah's intentions look wrong. He takes Yah's potential vessels, you, and isolates them so they cannot influence other people. He drives them and puts them into pits of sin. Inside they steam and boil with past regrets. Can you imagine their thoughts when they were cast out of, Hava and Adam's thoughts when they were cast out of the garden and caused to eat by the sweat of their brow? Up until that time they could just pick and eat what they wanted. Then, after they'd eaten, they had to work hard to get the food they needed. I think it must have plagued them for the rest of their lives. If only we hadn't listened. If only Adam had stopped Hava and said, "I've got jurisdiction over this. You're not to eat of that tree." But he didn't. They must have been regretting that for the rest of their lives. It's the adversary who got them to think negatively, like he did with Hava. She never thought negatively until the serpent came. Even her thoughts of Yehovah became negative. Her thoughts of the one who created her in total love for her. Questioning Yehovah's ways critically, as some people do, like, why did God take my loved one? As though Yah was cruel. Such people have been lied to by a silent whisperer of hatred from the adversary. It is Yah who gives life, and is Yah who takes it away. It's Bereshit 3 all over again. In Yeshayahu 65, Israel dwelt in graves and mountains, or tombs and mountains. Their situation involved the occult. The tombs were the places where they spoke to the dead, and the mountains were the high places where they worshipped stars and forecast their horoscopes, all practices forbidden as demonic in the scriptures. Notice where the adversary drove them. He drove them to mountains and to tombs and to graves, places where people do not live. Yehovah wanted to use Israel by making them holy so that he could flow through Israel in a world of heathen nations. The adversary twisted that thought, kept it there, but distorted it so that the people would opposite would occur to them, and feeling holier than everyone else. They felt that no one else should come near them. They couldn't touch them. They were below them. Yehovah does not make us holy to separate us so that others cannot come near us. He makes us holy to use us and to reach others. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Daniel 4:4-16, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was contentedly living at home, enjoying the luxury of my palace. But as I lay on my bed, I had a dream which frightened me, followed by fantasies and visions in my head, which frightened me even more. So I ordered the sages of Babel to present themselves to me, so that they could tell me the interpretations of the dream. When the magicians, exorcists, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they couldn't interpret it for me. Finally, however, Daniel, renamed Belteshazzar, came after the name of my God, in whom the spirit of the holy gods came before me, and I told him the dream. Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the meaning of the visions I saw in my dream. Here are the visions I had in my head as I lay in my bed. I looked, and there before me was a tree at the center of the earth. It was very tall. The tree grew and became strong until its crown reached the sky, and it could be seen from everywhere on earth. Its foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant. It produced enough food for everyone. The wild animals enjoyed its shade. The birds in the air lived in its branches, and it gave food to every living creature. Next slide. 15 we should be on to. Yes, that's it. I looked in the visions of my head as I lay on my bed, and there appeared a holy watcher coming down from heaven. And he cried out, cut down the tree, cut off its branches, strip off its leaves, scatter its fruit. Let the wild animals flee from its shelter. Let the birds abandon its branches. But leave the stump with its roots in the ground, with a band of iron and bronze in the lush grass of the countryside. Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share the lot of the animals in the pasture. Let his heart and mind cease to be human and become those of an animal, and let seven seasons pass over him. So Daniel told the king that the dream spoke to him as the tree, spoke of him as the tree. And the king's influence was spread far and wide as the branches of the tree over the land. He said for 7 years the king would go mad and would be driven away from the kingdom to eat grass like an animal. And verse 16 said, let his heart and mind cease to be human. Can we go to the next slide, please? It's got a number on it, 16. No, the next one. Yep, the king said, Babel the Great, I built it as a royal residence by my power and force to enhance the glory of my majesty. No sooner had the king spoken these words when a voice came down from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, these words are for you. The kingdom has left you. You will be driven from human society to live with the wild animals. You will be made to eat grass like an ox and be drenched with dew from the sky. As 7 seasons pass over you, until you learn that the Most High rules in the human kingdom and gives it to whomever he pleases. And the next slide. Within the hour, the word was fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like an ox. His body was drenched with dew from the sky until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar became possessed by a demoniac spirit. It began with a proud statement concerning himself and the kingdom he built for his name. The adversary is attracted to the proud. Those who live in pride consider themselves better than others and also find that they are driven to isolate themselves from others. The spirits of hell come to them like iron to a magnet. The demoniac was driven from the populace or the population of the people into the mountains and into the tombs. The prodigal son was driven by self-desire and lusts away from the righteous house of his father. The prodigal son wound up in a pig pen, eating the husks with animals, as Nebuchadnezzar ate grass like an ox. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Yeshayahu 65:11, but as you who abandon Yehovah, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for God, a troop, a god of luck, and fill bowls of mixed wine for Meni, a god of destiny. Notice the point about preparing a table for that troop and furnishing drink for that number. These people were giving themselves as food to the demonic spirits. Spiritual feasts on the chance to manifest their desires in people who begin to manifest these same desires. The spirits invade the person and the person becomes worse in those desires and lusts. The names of the spirits possessing the demoniac of the Gadarenes was Legion. Legion in one single word describes both a military troop and a number of soldiers in that troop. And this was the note pointed out in Yeshayahu 65:11, referring to Israel who were isolated in pride and in the tombs and the mountains. Israel became a feast for demonic spirits. But Yah looked deep into the hearts of those rebels. Even amongst them, Yah saw what he could do. We go to the next slide, please. Here is what Yehovah says. When juice is found in a cluster of grapes and people say don't destroy it, there is still some good in it. So I will do likewise for the sake of my servants and not destroy them all. New wine is in the cluster. Yah is saying do not destroy the entire cluster. Wine is what grapes can become. Jehovah sees not always what we are now, but what we can become by being obedient to him. Jehovah can and does work in people's lives. In Isaiah or Yeshayahu 65:16 it says, "Thus someone on earth who blesses himself will bless himself by the Elohim of truth. And someone on earth who swears an oath will swear by the Elohim of truth, for past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes." Jehovah, our Elohim, can take a life bound by sin and forgive those sins and forget the former troubles of the past. And the next verse in verse 17, "For look, I create new heavens and a new earth. Past things will not be remembered. They will no more come to my mind." I believe there is literally going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day. But right now, immediately, after Jehovah forgives our troubles and remembers them no more, it is a new heaven and a new earth for that person living amongst the tombs at the moment. As long as we turn from our sins and live according to Jehovah's instructions to his people, that is, those who acknowledge Yeshua as the Son of Yah, the former life of sin is no longer remembered. What lives we once lived are never considered again by Yah, since he forgets them about all of them when he saves us. But we must not return to the old life. We must make that complete 180 degree turn and follow him and let us keep continuing on to him. So I just want to finish now with this one slide. Mark 5:15. "They came to Yeshua and saw the man who had the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were frightened." They were in fear. While the man was a demoniac, they weren't in fear of him. But now he's in his right mind. Now they're in fear. All of their swine have gone and drowned, thousands of them. The demoniac man was changed. He was so different, perhaps they thought Yeshua was a sorcerer in league with the evil and was able to control the man as the spirits did. But Yeshua told the man to go and tell others what had happened to him. Instead, they sent Yeshua away. It was Yeshua they sent away due to their fear. But the same countrymen waited for Yeshua's return once the man delivered his testimony. Our testimonies are powerful. Yes, the demoniac overcame in the end. God was told a troop would overcome him. But in the end, he would overcome. How did the demoniac from the tribe of Gad overcome? Through Yeshua HaMashiach. No matter how bad your life is wrought with sin, or how bad you were in the past, Yeshua HaMashiach can cause you to overcome it all and be delivered. There should be no doubt. The adversary knows Jehovah's purpose and seeks to isolate potential vessels who are destined for Jehovah's purpose. I tried to minister to you today some truth to show you the purpose that of Yah putting you in a world in which you can be used by him to bless others. This is your purpose. That is the whole prophecy to God. It shows how they can and will overcome. The tribe of God didn't have it, but the demoniac did. He let Yeshua into his life, turned it around and used it to bless those with whom he came in contact. You can do the same. And I'm sure a lot of you do most of the time.